Okay, so we're going to talk about this. It's a strange text. We're going to study three psukim today. And it's a strange text because it talks about pressing the orphan and the widow, but the wording is a little unusual, and so we'll try to see what we can make of it. In Shmos Perchapes, so Pasuk Chaval says, Kol almana v'yosam lo tanun. Okay, pretty straightforward. What does that mean? Don't oppress the widow and the orphan. Okay, fine. Makes sense. Next pasuk says, Im ane tane oso, if you oppress him, ki im tsaoki tsake lai, but if he cries out to me, shema, was it? Sorry. Shamoa eshma tsakoso, I will hear his cries. Okay, v'chara api, I'll get angry. V'rakti eschem b'charav, and I'll kill you with the sword. And your wives will become widows, and your children will become orphans. Okay, so I have sort of three questions. Okay, so first question is simple grammatical question. There's the same verb is used in chafal chapez, right? Mm-hmm. What verb? Ina to oppress. Is there a difference between chafal chabez, the verb is used?
Active passive, like what it
was. Well, okay. Well, what's ta'anun versus tane? Iman tane. What's the difference? Ta'anun.
Plural
singular, right? So I'm just pointing out chafal. I mean, some of these things like, okay, what's the big deal? But I'm just pointing out chafal is plural, lo ta'anun is you shouldn't, right? Plural, and chabez is singular. Okay, not so exciting. For now, okay. Now, Chavbeis is a very strange pasuk because it says im ane taneo. So if you oppress him, then what? Like, how do you read this pasuk?
So if you oppress him to the point where he starts crying out to me.
Okay.
So, you mean
such that he cries out to me? Okay. I'm just saying, like, it's not, you know, it's almost like this. If you look it's sort of like an esnachta, right? Like, you know, under oso, it's like, if you oppress him, full stop, it's almost dot, dot, dot. It's all, you know, it's almost like, you know, when you tell someone, if you do this, and they're like, yeah, then what, right? Like, it's almost like an unfinished threat here. So it's a little strange. And then the final point I want to make here is, okay, I'm not a fan, let me be clear, because I'm being recorded here. I'm not a fan of oppressing a widow or an orphan. I'm anti oppressing widows and orphans. Okay, do you think the punishment fits the crime?
Should be killed and his wife and his children should be a widow and his
children. Right, I'm saying it seems, again, whatever it means to oppress, I think it's wrong. But the God's going to be angry, like, God, there are a lot of things that we do that are wrong. Okay, you can think God can tell you to take advantage of the weak, but he's, I'm going to kill you with the sword, and your wives will become widows, your kids will become orphans. I think it's wrong. One should not oppress him. It seems very harsh.
You're punishing the whole family, but I mean, you're not just punishing the guy who did the oppressing.
You mean because
the children and the wife? I mean,
right. Now there is
earlier it says an eye for an eye.
It's an eye for an eye. Well, no. An eye for an eye would be if you actually kill someone and turn someone into an orphan. Like here, it's you oppress them, then you'll be oppressed. I understand. It's nice.
It's more than an eye for an eye.
It's like I swear. I don't know. So I'm trying to understand. Now, just to be, the Mechilta is bothered by this. The Midrash, the Mechilta is bothered by this. It's an im ano tane, magid she'eno chayev ad she'yane v'yashane. From she'yane means if you do it a second time. So you repeat, it's sort of like a two-strike policy. If you do it twice, okay, one time, you'll, one time if you do it, it won't happen. But if you do it a second time, so then, again, like, how do we understand this? It's a two-strike policy. If you do it twice, so then I'm going to kill you. It's also a little strange, right? So let's try to unpack some of these things and see what's the Torah really getting at here. So let's read the Ramban. The Ramban says, "Varachon beina." It seems to me, "Ki yomar im ano taneoso." Says, I mean, he says actually what you wanted to say, Noah. He says, "If you oppress him, rak tsaok yitzake lai." You know, so much that he cries out to me, "Bilvad miyadish matzakaso." So in other words, if you oppress him, all he has to do is cry out, and I'm there for him. In other words, God cares about the, like, ki'im. If as long as he simply cries out, bam, you're going to be punished. So that's one way you could look at it. Right. Look at Rashi. Rashi understands a little bit differently. Rashi says. Im ano taneo so harizim mikra katzar. It's short. Gazam. It's sort of cut off a little bit. Velo perash ancho. It doesn't sort of explain the punishment. Lachet kamo lachen kol horeg kayin gazam velo perash ancho. Like in Bereishis Perek Dav pasuk tesva, the pasuk says, therefore anyone who kills kayin, and it just stops. It's. And so Avkan im ano tarel so loshon gazum, it's cut off. Kolomar sovcha li tola shelcha. In other words, if you oppress him, it's going to be at the end. You know, Hashem's going to take what's yours. Hashem's going to take everything from you. Lama wa kitzok yitzakilai. So it's almost like an unfinished sentence. Okay, but again, why is the warning formulated this for the sin? It's like if you oppress him. ... Oh boy, it's gonna be the end of you because you know he's crying out. It's a very strange formulation.
But where did the mechot get it was done twice?
Right. So maybe the double anotane, maybe. Right, but
you do it over and over
again. Because the double lashon, and I think he's bothered by the fact that also like, but maybe he's also bothered by the fact that like, why is the punishment so severe? Okay, so but again, it's a very strange warning that's formulated like this for this sin. So let's talk about the question of why switch from plural to singular. So. Ibn Ezra says the following. Ibn Ezra and Rav Hirsch say something similar. I think the same concept, but in different formulations. Lo sa'anun b'lashon rabim. Okay? So he says, don't oppress plural. Ki mishpat haroim ha'inoi v'hachrisho ki mishpat hama'ane. Because the law of those who see the oppression, v'hachrisho, and they're silent, that's like the law of the one who actually oppresses. Al kein kasuv. Therefore, the pasuk says, "Im ane tane v'rak tieschem." That's why the pasuk says, "If you oppress, and I will kill you." So he's saying, why does it say, "I will kill you," plural, eschem, if ane tane is singular? Because who is Hashem? Who's being punished here? Both the person who is oppressing, who's taking advantage of the widow and the orphan, and who else?
People who stood by idly
and did nothing. Okay? And people who stood idly by and did nothing. Rav Hirsch says something similar. He says, Lo sa'anun, Berov ha-medinos, mefalim es ha-zarim l'ra'a, u-mefakhim es zechuyosem al-piyachok. In most provinces, most countries, they treat, according to the law, they treat foreigners, you know, they deprive them of rights. You know, in most places, the foreigners, you know, they ship them out. I don't know. In most places, they deprive foreigners of rights according to the law. Therefore, the pasuk first says, singular, I guess he's talking about here imano tane. We shouldn't oppress them. Lumad zot, kashi elim so marechet chukim matira kipuach almanot v'yitomim. You're not going to find laws depriving widows and orphans of rights. You'll find maybe rights. You'll find like foreigners, being deprived, but not widows and orphans. Ula biyachasei hachevra, but societally. Uvalichos adamim chaveru, the way just people deal with their friends. Nisunim anashim eila hamashulim nitzigo mishanet v'hadrecha. These people who are lacking leadership or people to support them, lekipuch lashbala. You know, there are certain people in society that, according to the law, they generally don't have the same rights as other people, and certain people don't have the same rights not based on law, but just societally. So, in other words, foreigners may not have the same rights as citizens. But widows and orphans, according to law, they have the same rights, but they're often treated not the same way because they have no one to stand up for them. So what the first says, Mishum kach ponea Torah ela chevra tchila. So the first, was it the Torah turns to the chevra, to society, and says, Lo tanun, al tenatzlu es chul hashtam l'ra. Don't basically take advantage of their weakness for bad. Al tigremu lahem shergishu esev nechutzusam. Don't allow them that they should feel the suffering, the suffering that they're going through. So in other words, the way that Rav Hirsch is explaining it, says lo tanun refers to society. Im ane tan, it's a little bit different. He said lo tanun, society needs to watch out when they see that there are individuals who are weak members of society. Imano tane refers to individual who oppresses, and lo tanun is don't set up a society where there are people around you who are vulnerable and other people taking advantage of them. So it's really the same idea. In other words, it's the active sin and then the passive sin. Okay? And now perhaps we can explain maybe why there's a severity of punishment. Right, the Ramban says the following: Va'onesh hazeh lo manu osa rabosenu bechlal chayvi misal bidei shemayim bebraisa deve'elu hein shebisa shnivas Sanhedrin. Apparently, in Masechet Sanhedrin, there's a whole list of situations where someone gets misa bidei shemayim, they get heavenly death, and this is not included. Why? Vatam she'enza misa k'misas bnei adam bidei shemayim. This is not like a regular punishment bidei shemayim. I guess that the pasuk says umesbo ki chalu, they profane something, blow some musa, don't die. Aval anash bekan she yehareg osam or she yarog osam becherev o yev or b'mochava. So I guess your regular misa b'dei, your regular misa b'dei shemayim, the regular punishments that people get misa b'dei shemayim is they'll drop dead at some point by God, okay? But people will know about their death. How are they going to die here, these people? The enemy is going to attack them, or there's going to be a war, and Yerav and Ispev v'lo hoda, and they're going to completely disappear. V'hoyu nisheihem almanos la'olam, uvneihem yisomim la'olam. And the wives will be widows forever, and the children will be widows forever. In other words, this is a more severe type of heavenly punishment than your standard misa b'dei shemayim. This is if they're going to be killed. I mean, unfortunately, we're now in the midst of trying to get back, dead bodies, and we don't take dead bodies back. It's horrible, but we care so much about finality and certainty, right? Now there are people who are in Gaza that we know that they're dead, and we're just waiting to get back their bodies. There are people that we don't know. I think the pasuk here is saying that there are going to be these people who are going to be killed, and no one's going to know. And maybe it means that the widows, they're going to be widows forever because maybe they can't remarry because they don't know if their husband died, and the kids are going to be orphans forever. Because they're not going to know if their father is dead or not, so the mother's not going to be able to remarry. So this is a more severe punishment according to the Rabbanan. The question is why? Why is this more severe? So the Sefer HaChinuch says, V'afal pi, she'ain lokin alav zeh. Okay, you don't get malchus for this. There's no like specific oppression, like what do you mean don't oppress? So there's no specific action. I guess oppressing means taking advantage of someone. Now, if you take advantage of someone, you can say it was for their own good. So I, again, sometimes you can say I had good intentions. You know, I guess how do you violate this? I don't know, maybe give them advice or maybe, you know, give them advice which will put them in a worse situation. You know, telling them to do certain things. Like, you're taking advantage of someone who's vulnerable and you claim, I'm doing it for their benefit. And how do you know it's something bad? So Hashem Yisparach Shebochi Levavos Ve'Toveat Tzaron, Hashem who can judge hearts, who knows what's going on, he will claim, he will, you know, be aware of their sorrow. And the punishment is explicit in the Torah. Shinama the Pasuk says, I'm going to kill you by the sword. Klumar mida kenegan mida. Shetiena neshe hama'anim almanos of them yisomim. V'lo yom matzumarachim. That the wives of those who oppress will be widows and the children will be orphans and they won't find anyone to have mercy on them. Shemida sh'oda modim bo modim lo. So because this person, right, oppressed the widows and orphans, therefore their wives and children. Because why should they suffer, you know, if it's him? But okay, that's a question. But the Sefer HaChinuch basically says that this is a severe punishment because people can lie and say it wasn't their intention. And especially if we say that the punishment is actually about society, then it's pretty easy for society can say, right, it wasn't my fault. Right. In other words, if what these pesukim are going on is about that you live in a society where people are taking advantage of the vulnerable and the weak, and you're standing around, and you say, "Oh, I didn't know," and no one can point to you and say you could have done this, and you say, "I didn't know that," so you can imagine why this is a very severe punishment, because it's a severe punishment. Not only about someone who does something once, it's a societal problem of people like a midah sodom of not caring about the weak, and you know individuals who are doing bad things, but then a lot of people who are sitting around and could do something and do nothing, and that's what's going on here. In other words, do we live in a society where basically our job is not to harm others? Or do we live in a society to look out for the weak, for the oppressed, for the vulnerable, and to be there for them, right? And what's going on in Parshas Mishpatim? Like, it's an interesting question. In other words, what's Parshas Mishpatim about? Is Parshas Mishpatim about having a stable society, have a functioning society? Or is Parshas Mishpatim about sort of living these kind of divine ideals about like some kind of... it's always an interesting question, which is like... How is, you know, there's secular law also, right, that governs a lot of these rules. So how is Jewish law different than secular law, right? You know, is secular law simply about, making sure that people don't infringe on each other's rights? Or maybe Jewish law is about sort of trying to create, a divine society, a society that's, where we're helping one another, where we're looking out, we're not merely not harming each other, but we're actually there where we view each other as a family. And maybe these psukim are sort of pointing towards that. And that, with that, we can maybe now explain why it's only a punishment for a repeat offense. Why do you think it's a punishment for only a repeat offense? Because what's the point of mechilta? Why do you think it's only if it's they do it again?
The pattern of behavior.
Right. No, it's not a din in the mice. It's a din in what kind of
society.
What?
It's a societal breakdown.
Right. Exactly. So let's see this Panim Yafos. So he's gonna sort of go through this point. It says Umashik Asuv, the Panim Yafos was the Rebbe of the Chassam Sofer. And he says, Umashik Asuv Rebbe, Einu Chayev Achiyana Shnei Pamim. And Rebbe says you're only liable when you oppressed twice. Yesh defarash in yana al das shomer chazal b'menachos. It's what chazal say b'menachos. Damar lei, Rav Ketina l'malach, that Rav Ketina said to the angel, mi anshiso al asei. Who punished you on this lack of asei? So, right, so the halacha generally is, like, you know, there's an angel, like, I think if you don't do a mitzvah asei, so why do you get punished? So I'm going to lay b'idan mitcha anshinan. I think this has to do with tzitzis, I believe. So he says, like, if you don't do a mitzvah asei, so when God is angry, in some time, there are certain times when God, quote unquote, is angry, so we punish him. V'atam b'zeh, ki kol shev al tase einon chi min ha-shamayim. Generally speaking, we don't punish you for not doing something. Okay? There's no punishment min ha-shamayim for not doing something. You lost an opportunity, but we don't punish you. He says, b'midas hocheach tochich she'bishas hazam nenshu asher elohem limchos v'lamichos. So, but however, let's say the mitzvah to rebuke someone. In times when God, quote unquote, is angry, like there's certain times where we will punish you. Generally speaking, you're not going to be punished on not doing mitzvah asay, but sometimes in times of spiritual anger, whatever this, that means, so then you're punished if you have the opportunity to influence someone and you don't. V'cheinu be'ino adin, kevan shushay v'altase, ina odash al bishas charonaf. And that's the idea also. If you allow someone to be oppressed, so that's also, by you doing nothing, you're only punished when God, quote unquote, is angry. That's what it said, v'charonapi, omnon, charonaf. Hu b'misha avar v'aver v'shan. It's only when it's a repeat offense. Sha'amru chazal, shenas lo keheter. Right? I mean, like, you know, people who go off the derech. The first time that they're mechal Shabbos, you know, they turn on that light to be mechal Shabbos, to violate Shabbos. Okay, it's, oh my God, really scary. Right? Someone's grown up from, and then they're tempted to violate Shabbos. The first time they do it, it's like very shaking. Oh my gosh, God's going to strike me. But at the second time, it's fine, right? First time, it's once you breach. So the second time, it's normal. He says it's a pasuk, and he says that lest you think, once it's like, it's called a pasuk in, I think, the Tzavim. He says, once you do something and you're thinking things are okay, then you maybe you did a shogeg. We say, no, that's not the case. And he says, the last line, he wants to say, Dechshenas lo keheter, nena shalom machshav kamaisa. Once you do something again, and an intentional sin becomes, and basically you think it's okay, so then you're punished on your thought. Dehainu sha'afin ona shalom machshav kamaisa. And even though you're generally not punished on a thought like a deed, normally speaking, you're punished only if you do something wrong. But when you treat something as if it's permissible, even punished for the thought. And that's what he's saying here, im ano taneh, she'eno nenash, ela im ano taneh, she'aneh v'yishan, because you repeat it. Because he says, since there's no maisa, you're not punished until you repeat it, because it becomes keheter. It becomes part of society. And then God will even punish us. And that's the point, what you're saying here, what you were suggesting. That we are punished for evil thoughts if they turn into a worldview or into a lifestyle. The punishment for standing idly by and not doing anything to alleviate suffering, and what's the consequence? The consequence is, maybe, that's why the consequence, what's the consequence? That society needs to experience this type of suffering firsthand to develop this sense of communal responsibility and empathy. That's why the response is, v'rati yischem b'char v'neshech ha'amonot v'nechem yisomim. Because the only way that society is going to learn, unfortunately, how to be more empathic and care about the vulnerable if they experience it firsthand, right? And there's one of the, you know, one of the byproducts of our slavery in Egypt is now we know how the slave feels. So I think what the Torah is doing in these three psukim with the strange language of the plural versus the singular, we're talking about the individual oppressors, but we're talking more than that. We're talking about the society who sits around and oppresses by not, they're engaged, they're oppressing by seeing something, by nas lo keheter, by creating this kind of society. And therefore the Torah is telling us that a Torah society is not simply one that does not harm. But a society is one and sees who is vulnerable and who is taking advantage of vulnerable people. Sometimes you could take advantage of vulnerable people legally, right? In other words, if someone is weak, you have power, they don't have power. You have money, they don't have money, right? You can totally legally take advantage of the vulnerable, of the weak, of the oppressed, and create even further distance between the rich and the poor. So the Torah is telling us here is that a Torah society actually, not only should they not engage in this, but they should remain active in helping out these individuals to such an extent that if we don't, then unfortunately we will bear the burden. I mean, again, we are a very small nation, and you know, one of the byproducts of being a small nation, unfortunately, is that we've been not just in Egypt, but we've suffered a lot. And it's, you know, I can't explain why God does this to us. I don't know why, but I'm saying one byproduct of us suffering a lot and being weak and oppressed is that we know how it feels, or we should know how it feels. And this is something that I think defines our society. We care a lot about this value. And Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling us that if we excel in this value, then hopefully we won't have to suffer this. And if we don't excel in this value, then unfortunately we will have to suffer these kind of consequences. So again, this is, Mishpatim is not simply a, you know, you have the Mesopotamian, whatever, the Hammurabi code, you know, but Torah has a much more idealistic view of how to run an ethical, moral society in the regular business world. And that's what these three psukim, I think, and all of Parshas Mishpatim highlight for us. Yeah.